Romans chapter 3, beginning our reading at verse 21, the New King James Version, reading to the end of the chapter. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish it. In verse 21, we noted that Paul returns to the theme of the book back in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. God's plan for making man righteous is revealed, manifested, made known, apart from, without, separate from the law, that is the Old Testament law. And it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. That witness was first mentioned back in chapter 1 and verse 17, a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. We're also going to see it witnessed by the law later on in chapter 4, as we'll get into tonight. So the law and the prophets actually witnessed God's plan for making man righteous. That plan, mentioned back in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, is a plan that has to do with faith. Remember, Habakkuk said, "The just, that is the righteous, by faith shall live." They'll have life. So God justifies man, that is, declares man, proclaims man to be righteous in His sight by man's faith. Even, verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. Remember, the faith there under consideration is in the gospel. Through even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, to all and on all who believe the gospel. For there is no difference. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. And the reason that is so, verse 23, for that is because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He had already established that in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, through chapter 3 and in verse 20. So we're justified freely, he says, by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is liberation and freedom from sin. When one is liberated and set free from his sin, then he is pronounced just or justified in the sight of God. That is, he is righteous before God. Belief, then, is the system through which man is justified. Verse 27, let's pick up. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. We've defined law in our study in times past. Remember, the basic idea in law is simply a rule or principle. It's a rule or principle that governs one's conduct. Regardless of what kind of law it is, that's what law does. It's a rule or principle that governs our conduct. In reference to the law of God, it is God's rule or principle that governs our behavior before Him. Of course, the law under consideration here, where is the boasting then, is excluded by what law? By what rule then is boasting excluded? Remember, the boasting goes back in chapter 2 and in verse 17. Indeed, you're called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. And that is, they gloried in the fact that they had a relationship with God that the Gentiles didn't have. That relationship, of course, came about through having a written and codified law as well as circumcision. But neither one of those things benefited the Jew because they did not keep the law, nor was it circumcision that justified them, and that's going to be clearly brought out in the next chapter. So where is boasting then? Is it is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Of works. Remember, he had mentioned works before. Verse 20 of chapter 3, therefore by the deeds of the law of Moses is under consideration, but it would be true of any law. Therefore by the deeds or the works of the law, same word translated deed here, translated works where we're reading in verse 27. Therefore by the deeds or works of the law, no flesh, that is no man, Jew or Gentile, will be justified, declared or pronounced righteous before God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Law simply tells man what sin is. It identifies sin for man. So verse 27 again, where is boasting then? Is it included? By what law? By what rule? By what principle? I would suggest by what system. By what system does God justify man? Does God justify man on a system of works? Or does God justify man on a system of faith? Well, it's the latter. God justifies man by faith. No, but by the law of faith, by the rule of faith, by the system of faith. That's what's under consideration. Again, it goes back to chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And at verse 17, the quote of Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, the just are those who are righteous by faith shall live. Now, we know that the faith under consideration is an obedient faith, and that'll be clearly brought out later on in chapter 4. But God justifies man by faith, by his belief. He doesn't justify man. And again, justify means declare, pronounce righteous. God declares or pronounce one righteous when his sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven, of course, in Christ Jesus. That's where redemption is. We're liberated and set free from our sin. That was mentioned in verse 24. We're liberated and set free from our sin based upon the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. Remember, he was the propitiation for our sins. And so, based upon that sacrifice for our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, through faith, that is through an obedient faith, God then declares, pronounces us just in his sight. That is, righteous in his sight. So, the Jew thought that if he kept the works of the law of Moses, he would be justified by God, declared or pronounced righteous. He would be seen as one who was righteous. The only problem with that is he would have to keep the works of the law of Moses perfectly, because once he violated a law of God, a work, did not keep it perfectly, then he would be guilty before God, and there would be no means by which he could receive the forgiveness of his sins. Remember, all the blood of animals offered upon the altar couldn't take away their sin. There had to be some other sacrifice, and that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. So the point that Paul makes here is man is justified by faith. That's the system by which God justifies man, and that's the system by which God has always justified man, by his faith, by his obedient faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude, this is the conclusion we can draw from this, Paul says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified, note this, that a man is justified by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. Apart from the deeds of the law. So we have works of the law. In verse 27 we have deeds of the law here, again the same word, just translated differently. We're in Romans 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith only. Remember when Martin Luther translated the Bible into the German language, he added the word only. This is the verse to which he added it, right here, verse 28. And so that's where it began, with the ideal of faith only, because Martin Luther added a word that's not there. And so, of course, it's not in our version because it is not there. But that's what he taught, that we're justified by faith only. But he didn't read chapter 4 of the book of Romans, evidently, because we see that we're not justified by faith only. We must obey God's will. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified. Again, to be justified is to be declared or pronounced righteous. So God declares or pronounces us righteous based upon what? Based upon our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ, God declared man righteous based upon his faith in him, his faith in God. Romans 3:28 again. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Note this. Without or separate or independent from the deeds of the law. The deeds or works of the law are works or deeds that the law obligates you to perform, obligates you to keep. By the keeping of works of law, we're not justified. I've pressed this point 2 or 3 times already. Some believe that if we keep the works of the law of Christ, we assemble with the saints every time the church doors are open, partake of the Lord's Supper, give as we've been prospered and so forth. We're not drunkards. We don't beat our wife and so forth. That the keeping of those works will justify us in the sight of God. No, because we're not justified by law keeping. Why? Because we can't keep them perfectly. We violate the law of God. Once we violate the law of God, we stand guilty as sinners. Remember what sin is. Sin is the transgression of law. It's the violation of law. So once law has been violated, you stand guilty before God. Now, standing guilty before God, what's God going to do? Well, he's going to do one of two things. He's going to punish you, or he's going to forgive you. And he forgives you. He forgives you based upon your faith. He pronounces or declares you to be right in his sight based upon your faith, not your perfect law keeping, because you'll not keep law perfectly. Verse 28 again, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And so verse 29, or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Is he the God of the Jews only? Is God the God of the Jews only? Of course not. We've already seen that in the context in chapter 3. Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify, pronounce, and declare righteous the circumcised by faith. Who are the circumcised? The Jews. So God will declare, pronounce righteous the Jew by or through his faith. And the same God will also justify, declare, pronounce righteous the Gentile by or through his faith. Now, in verse 30, where it says, the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised, the Gentile through faith, those prepositions just mean the same thing. By or through the means of one's faith, by or through the agency of one's faith. So there's not to be understood differently there. God justifies both Jew and Gentile in exactly the same way, by faith. Remember, the Gentile didn't have the written and codified law. But the Jew did, but they thought they were justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. Well, if the Jew was justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses, how was the Gentile justified? He didn't have a written and codified law. But yet, God justifies Gentiles. How do we know that? Because he's going to give an example in chapter 4 of a Gentile, Abraham. Abraham, he was a Gentile, and he was justified by faith. He didn't have a written and codified law. So we're going to see that. Verse 30, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Do we invalidate the law through faith? Is law not important? Of course law is important, and we do not invalidate law. Law is important. It is through law that we come to know what sin is. Remember, a knowledge of sin in verse 20. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. We confirm the law. We confirm law. Man is not justified by perfect law keeping. He never has been and he never will be. From the very beginning, man has been justified by faith. Again, it goes back to Romans 1, 16 and 17. God's plan to make man righteous. What is that plan? To justify man by faith. So it is by the grace of God and through man's faith that man is justified. Chapter 4 in verse 1. Any questions or comments? Though there's a break in the text, in our English Bibles, there's not a break in the thought. So let's read the first 8 verses of this chapter. Romans 4, beginning in verse 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. We see some new words used here in this text, and we'll define those as we come to them. Chapter 4 and verse 1. What then shall we say? So he's going to give an example here of where the Old Testament testifies to the fact and bears witness to the fact that man is justified by faith and not by works. Remember, the Jew thought he was justified by the works of the law of Moses. But Paul's point is, God's plan to save man in Christ Jesus is based on a system of faith and not a system of works. That's God's plan to bring about the righteousness of man. Chapter 4 and verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found? Abraham, note this, our father. Of course, Paul is speaking to Jews here, but he's also speaking to Gentiles. What we're going to come to see in this text is Abraham is not only the father of the Jews, but he's also the father of the Gentiles. Now, how could that be so? How could he be said to be the father of the Gentiles as well as the Jews? We'll see that later on in the context. Well, the same way Paul could say that Timothy was his son. Timothy was not his literal son, but he was his, so to speak, spiritual son. Anytime that one follows in the steps of Abraham, that is to seek justification from God by faith, then he becomes a child of Abraham. He becomes an offspring of Abraham, so to speak, in a spiritual sense. So Abraham is going to be referred to here in the text as a father of both Jews and Gentiles. We'll see it expressed more clearly later on. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? What's he found according to the flesh? The flesh under consideration means according to his flesh, and that is his descendants and seed who would come after him. Because in the context, there's going to be a quote from Genesis chapter 15, and it has to do with his seed and descendants after him. They came from his flesh, from his body. So what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, note that, for if he was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, that is something to glory about. If he was justified by works, the point is he was not justified by works. Again, to be justified means to declare, be declared or pronounced righteous. God did not declare or pronounce Abraham righteous based upon works. Remember, Abraham lived before the law of Moses was even written. We've been studying that in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 7. You know, the descendants of Abraham, 75 folks from his family, went into Egypt. 430 years later, the law was given. So Abraham lived a long time before he could seek to be justified by the works of the law of Moses. And so before even the works of the law of Moses came into existence, Abraham is said to be justified, and he's said to be justified by faith. Well, if Abraham could be justified by faith before the law of Moses ever came into existence, and Abraham wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile. He wasn't part of the Hebrew nation. He was the forefather of it. He was an ancestor of it. But he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. All right, all of this is going to come together later on in the context. For if Abraham was justified by works, the point is he wasn't justified by works. If he had been justified by works, he would have something to boast about or glory about. You know, when one performs work, he can boast or glory in the fact that he's done it. I've done it. He's going to bring out the wages of one who works here in a moment. In verse 4.
He can boast a man. If a person were to keep the law perfectly like Abraham,
yeah,
he could say to his fellow man, look what I've done.
Look what I've done, right.
But
yeah.
He can't look up to God and say that, because God will tell him, well, that's what you're supposed to do anyway.
And where it says, but not before God. If he was justified by works, he cannot be justified by works before God, in God's opinion, in God's judgment. Why? Because God doesn't justify people based upon a system of works. God justifies people based upon a system of faith. That's why Abraham could not boast before God. So note this, for if Abraham was justified by works, which he was not, he has something to boast about. He has something to glory about. Look, God, look what I've done. Well, he can't boast before God about that because God doesn't justify him based upon works. God's justification comes by what? By faith. That's Paul's whole point here. We'll see it more clearly as we go on. Verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? Note what the Scripture says. So that... How does Paul end an argument? Well, he just proves what he has stated by Scripture. Paul's whole point up to this period from verse 21 to the end of chapter 3 is that man is justified by faith. God justifies man based on faith. And so, to prove that God justifies man based on faith and not law-keeping, he uses Abraham for an example. Romans 4, verse 3. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Note this. Abraham believed God. There's faith. Abraham had faith in God. Now, belief in God, faith in God, is trust and confidence in God and in His Word to the point that you will do what God says. Now, that's going to be brought out later on in connection with obedience. But right now, it's just Abraham believed what God said. And that belief, his trust and confidence in what God said, note what happened. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted. What was accounted? And this word translated accounted is an accounting term. It's a financial term in the Greek. It means it's been put down to his account. It's been accounted or reckoned to him. Well, what was reckoned to him? Abraham believed God, and it, note that little pronoun, it was accounted to him for in order to righteousness. What was accounted to Abraham for in order to righteousness? What was it? What does that little it refer back to? His belief. Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, his faith in what God said, was accounted to him, put down to his account, for, in order to righteousness. We might say, for, in order to justification. Because justification is being declared or pronounced righteous. God declared Abraham to be righteous in his sight based upon his faith. Now, we need to understand where this came from in the book of Genesis. Turn with me over to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. I want us to note this. Genesis chapter 15, of course, this is a quote from Genesis 15 in verse 6. But let's begin at verse 1. Genesis 15, read a few verses. I want you to see where this comes from in the context. Now, at this point in Abraham's life, Abraham doesn't have any children. Doesn't have any children at all. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir. Note this, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Note this now, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he goes on, makes a covenant with him. But that's the context of this. So what did God promise to Abraham? That there was going to be someone from the fruit of his own body. He was going to father a child. And from that child, his descendants would come as the stars of heaven, great in multitude. Well, Abraham believed that. He had such trust and confidence in that, that we see later on that he and Sarah decide to help God along in the promise that God had made to him. Remember, I'm barren. I can't have any children. So go into my handmaiden and have a child. And so Ishmael was born. But that wasn't God's plan. But nonetheless, Abraham had such trust and confidence in what God had said, that faith, that trust and confidence was accounted to him for righteousness. That is, God declared him to be righteous based upon his faith. So we come back to Romans chapter 4 and in verse 3. So what does this prove? Well, it proves that before the law was ever given, by which the Jews thought that they could be justified by the works of the law, we have Abraham justified by faith. That's the way God has always justified man and will always justify man, based upon faith. So, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and his belief was accounted, it was put down, it was credited, it was reckoned to him for, in order to righteousness, or in order to justification. Now take that back to, again, Romans 1 and verse 17, and the quote from Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, the just or the righteous by faith shall live, they'll have everlasting life. Verse 4, Romans 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. The one who works, this is just a basic principle, we understand that. When you labor all day on a job, and your boss comes to you and pays your wages, is he giving you a gift? Is he just showing favor to you after you've labored all day? No, you've earned or merited those wages. That's all Paul is saying him. To him who works, the wages are not counted as grace. They're not counted as a gift. They're not counted as a favor toward you. But they're counted as a debt that is owed you. So if you kept the law of God perfectly, God would owe you salvation. But again, no one has kept the law of God perfectly save one, and that's Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't in need of salvation. He was deity himself. But see, the Jew thought, keeping the works of the law of Moses, they were justified. But no, if they could have, there would not have been a need of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed on their behalf if they could be saved by keeping the works of the law of Moses. God does not justify people by works, but by faith. Now, Paul, having said this, he's going to illustrate by the use of someone else, and that is by David. But first of all, he says in verse 5, to him who does not work, but believes, here's the faith, but believes on him, that is to believe in God, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted, reckoned, put down for, in order to, righteousness or justification. So you got one who works. He earns or merits what he gets. It's a debt owed to him. But to him who does not work, now the point is he does not work here. We understand that there are works that we must perform. God has given us commands to follow. He's given us actions and deeds to perform and engage in. But the engaging in those deeds does not earn or merit us salvation. We're not keeping the law of Christ and trying to keep it perfectly to earn or merit our salvation. But to him who does not work, and the point is, the one who does not work to earn or merit his salvation, because that's what the Jew thought they were doing. But to him who does not work, but believes on him, there's the contrast. The one who does not work, but believes. The one who believes on him, who justifies. Well, who justifies? Who pronounces or declares man righteous? God does. But believes on him who justifies the ungodly. The ungodly we define this past Lord's Day morning. The ungodly is the irreverent, the impious. They have no reverence and respect for God. Thus they're wicked, they're sinners. So, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him for, in order to, righteousness or justification. Again, another way of saying that man is justified by faith and not by works. And so he uses an example of where that is so. Where one in the Old Testament recognized the fact that he was justified before God by faith and not by works. Because this individual recognized and realized that he hadn't kept works of the law of Moses perfectly. And that was David. Verse 6, just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness, note this, apart from works. Just as David also describes the blessedness of man. That is, the blessedness of man is the blessing that comes to man, the favor bestowed upon man by God. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness. So who is the man to whom God imputes righteousness? God imputes, that is, he puts righteousness or justification down to your account, and it is put down to your account separate and apart from works. Verse 7, a quote by David here from Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are those, note what David says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Blessed means highly favored. God highly favors one. The one who is highly favored are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Lawless deeds, iniquities in some versions. Lawless deeds simply has reference to violations of law. It is the same thing as sin in the very next phrase to follow. Different word, but spoken of by different words, understood in the same way. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. So who is the man who's highly favored before God? The man whose sins are forgiven. Who forgives sin? God forgives sins. Abraham, when he was declared or pronounced righteous by his faith, his sin was forgiven. By faith. By faith. That's the only way he could be pronounced righteous, if his sins have been forgiven. Remember, we stand guilty before God as sinners. He can punish us or he can forgive us. When he forgives us, then he declares us righteous. We're justified in his sight. So blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Sins to be covered simply means to be forgiven. That is, they're out of the sight of God. Sins are simply another way of saying lawless deeds, just a different word to describe the same thing. Sin is a violation of law. Verse 8. Same thing is said here that is said in verse 7, said in a different way. Blessed, highly favored is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Well, who is the man to whom the Lord does not put sin down to his account? To impute means to reckon to him, to put it down to his account. Who is the man that the Lord does not put sin down to his account? It is the man whom he forgives of sin. Instead of putting it down to his account, instead of imputing it to him, he forgives him of it. Thus the man is blessed, highly favored. So, David was a man engaged and had engaged in sin before God. We know what that sin was. But God forgave him of that sin. Well, how did God forgive him of that sin? David said, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Look with me over in that psalm, if you will. Psalm 32, right quick. Let's see. Psalm 32. I think it's all the way to the end of that psalm. It's not very long. Psalm 32. I just want you to note the last verse of that psalm. Psalm 32 and verse 11. Psalm 32 and verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Note this. You righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You righteous. How could David speak of someone being righteous? He is righteous if he is forgiven or pardoned of his sin. How is one forgiven or pardoned of his sin? By faith he is. That's how. And so, what's Paul's point here? Well, before the law of Moses ever came into existence, Abraham was said to be justified by faith. He was not justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. He was justified by faith. And even after the law came into existence, David even says that the man is highly favored whom God forgives sins. Well, he didn't forgive David's sin because David had kept the law of God perfectly, because David didn't. He had violated sin. He stood guilty before God as a sinner. But God forgave him. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. God does not impute sin to the one to whom he forgives it. Now, he can impute sin to you, put it down to your account, or he can forgive it. He forgives it by faith, by your obedience of faith. Verse 9, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only? Does this blessedness, does God's favor only come upon the Jews only? No. Again, Abraham wasn't a Jew. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also, the Gentile? Yes, it does. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. And guess what? He used the ideal of circumcised here. The uncircumcised is the Gentile, the circumcised is the Jew. But guess what? Abraham was justified by faith before he was ever circumcised. So does it come upon the uncircumcised? Of course this blessedness comes upon the uncircumcised. Remember, the Jew put a lot of stock in the fact that they were circumcised. They were in a covenant relationship with God. They thought that circumcision, that work of circumcision, did something for them. It didn't do anything for them. Because God does not justify man by keeping works of law. He justifies man by faith. Abraham believed in God and believed in God's word and had such confidence and trust in it that God reckoned that faith to him as righteousness. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for in order to righteousness. All right, we're out of time. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but uncircumcised. That's the point. All right, questions or comments? Hope you're able to follow. Hope it's not too confusing for you. Hope you're learning something. Because I am. I hope you are. Any questions or comments before we end our study tonight? Thank you very much for your kind attention this evening.